Dear Diary, I know it's been a while, but I just wanted to update you on what's been happening. I've been home for almost 2.5 weeks, and I don't know how to describe how I'm feeling. Now that we've been ordered to stay at home and we aren't allowed to work, I feel like I don't know what to do with myself to stay productive. Part of me feels happy to be able to stay at home and have a break from work, because I guess it's sort of like a mini vacay, or since we can't go anywhere, a staycation. Spring break edition. Man, I haven't had a spring break off since college. That was half a decade ago. Time flies. I graduated college in 2015, and I've been working full-time ever since. Even during the 2 years of dental hygiene school, I still managed to work part-time at my dental office on Fridays and Saturdays, or during any time off I had. Once I graduated hygiene school in 2019, I began working full-time immediately, eager to start my new career and make money and prove myself. Like I mentioned in my previous diary entry, this work cycle and habitual stress really took a toll on me, mentally and emotionally. So, you could say I'm actually really happy to stay home and not deal with any of that and just finally be allowed to do nothing. The lazy side of me is glad to finally get a well-deserved and long overdue break. Except a big part of me feels really guilty that I have the luxury of staying with my family and my livelihood doesn't depend on my job or my salary. I feel bad because I see other coworkers and friends who need to work in order to pay rent and to provide for their families. This is something that I have never had to experience, nor did I even understand this concept yet for myself? See, I'm 26 years old and I have never lived on my own in my whole entire life. If that doesn't sound privileged, then I don't know what does. A lot of people might be thinking that I'm extremely fortunate to not have to worry about paying for rent and other bills in order to just live. Some people might think, damn, this girl really doesn't know anything about responsibilities or what it takes to live in this day and age. And those people are absolutely correct. I am fortunate. I am privileged. Also, I have no idea what it takes to live, nor do I have any real knowledge or experience with the cost of living on your own in Houston or anywhere. I moved to Houston for college in 2011, and ever since then, I had always lived with a family member. I had a few experiences when I would try to move out to an apartment and try to finally figure out how to live on my own, but all of those dreams were quickly squashed by my parents anytime I ever even tried to mention the idea of moving out. Basically, my parents have never allowed me to live on my own. Probably because they didn't trust me to be financially smart or responsible, or that I might have too much freedom and that I might party too much or not live a perfect Catholic lifestyle. As much as I hate to admit it, they were right about all of those things. I really did suck at being financially responsible, and I did party too much at one point in my life, and of course, I'm not living a holy Catholic lifestyle, as extremely disappointing as that might be for them. And when I say it out loud like that, it makes me sound like I was a bad daughter, a disappointment. Well, it sounds like that because that's exactly how I felt, how I have always felt growing up, even up until very recently. I constantly used to disobey my parents' orders and felt like I was the rebellious child. In all honesty, I was just living my life, but my parents have extremely high expectations and standards for their children. And I truly had never really cared to live up to them while I was growing up. Only until very recently in my life, maybe the last 4 years or so, did I finally feel the desire to prove myself to my parents and family, and I constantly felt the need to make up for all the embarrassing past mistakes I made as the selfish and rebellious child in order to try to erase all those mistakes and forget that old version of myself that I was so ashamed of. For most of my life, I constantly felt like a failure and a disappointment. And I never felt like I was good enough. And I honestly never felt the need to even try. It was only when I graduated hygiene school that I felt like I was finally trying. And I had been working extremely hard at my job and also on myself in order to prove myself to my family that I was finally a successful adult. Except I really wasn't successful because I had a huge amount of student loan and credit card debt. I felt like all the hard-earned money I made each paycheck was stripped away due to income taxes, paying back my student loans, and I was barely making a dent towards paying off my credit card debt. I felt like I could barely manage my finances, and I wasn't even living on my own yet. I was constantly haunted by this shame of feeling like I didn't have my shit together and not knowing how to get myself out of this massive hole of debt that I had ignorantly dug myself into. I felt like I wasn't making enough and I didn't have enough and I wouldn't be happy or successful if I didn't make more or have more to prove myself. So now, try to imagine the range of mixed emotions I felt because of not being able to work during those first 2 weeks of quarantine. Feeling happy and relieved to finally get a break. Yet, feeling guilty because I didn't necessarily have to work to live. Yet, also feeling a perpetual sense of shame for not being more financially responsible. And Since I was no longer able to work, I now had to deal with fear of not making any money to get rid of my debt in order to become financially secure and independent. On top of all that, the constant scary news cycles for the coronavirus was really starting to affect me because my heart ached for the thousands of COVID patients who were battling for their lives in the hospitals, alone. I could not even fathom what they must be going through or what they could possibly be thinking. What would I be thinking? This thought absolutely terrified me. I tried to imagine myself in this worst-case scenario, and I finally faced the daunting conception of mortality. We as humans are born into this world, and we never know when it will be our time to leave this earth. When we will be forced to leave our loved ones behind to figure out how to cope with grieving their loss. I would get so emotional when I thought about the pandemic and those who were struggling to stay positive and find peace in the face of death. I would see the mortality rates increasing exponentially, and I would think of those who died alone. I thought of the families of those who were unable to be with their loved ones in the hospital to provide them with hope and love to help ease them through this extreme test of faith. That's when I realized all of my problems were so minor and insignificant compared to the incomprehensible amount of pain and suffering that other humans were dealing with. When I finally took the time to stop thinking about myself and look at others, I realized things could always be a lot worse in my life. I truly felt humbled. I realized how self-centered I had been and how petty my problems sounded, especially during a time like this. I had an epiphany moment when I finally took the time to really listen to myself, as well as observe others around me. I finally was able to let go of the driver's wheel and really look at the beauties in life that I had foolishly taken for granted because I was so obsessed with having the perfect life. And I had been worrying about superficial things such as my image and status. These realizations were all of the poisons I had allowed my mind to become consumed with. I realized this is what social media had done to me, what Instagram had done to me. You know how everyone's lives always seems to be so perfect on Instagram? This is what we're programmed to believe because we're constantly scrolling through an Instagram feed full of insanely beautiful girls who have the perfect outfits and perfect friends who always seem to be really happy and enjoying their perfect lives. Not to mention the competition for the number of likes one can accumulate for the perfect IG photo. It's all about aesthetics, right? Like I've said before, if you follow me on Instagram, you'll notice that sometimes I post long paragraph captions that Most people probably scroll right past because they don't have the time to read all that. Yet, some of my most meaningful sentiments were posted along with an IG-worthy pic to highlight my most pivotal moments in life. And to those who don't really know me, I can easily see how it might seem like I have the perfect life. But that's how it is for everyone, right? We really only want to share the happy and beautiful, like-worthy moments to our public social media feeds because we don't want to share those real, vulnerable moments for the whole world to see. We choose to reveal what we want the world to know about ourselves and our personal lives. It was an interesting time to be on social media during those first 2 weeks of quarantine. Some people were posting articles so that others could be more informed and aware of the current news, while others were just trying to pass the time by doing fun challenges and tagging their friends in order to create a sense of camaraderie during this time of social isolation. For me, I was just silently observing and people-watching on social media because I myself didn't know what to post because I didn't even know how I felt. I didn't know how to justify what I was feeling, and I just felt lost. So I didn't want to share anything with anyone. Needless to say, obsessing over social media posts during this time of uncertainty didn't help me reach any sense of self-betterment or actualizations about my life. So I felt like I was at a loss again. I was back down the rabbit hole of the intense range of emotions that I had constantly been battling with. I didn't want to face all of those thoughts and stress myself out, so I had tried to keep digging myself further and further away from reality. It wasn't until I finally made a conscious effort towards detaching myself from social media and really took the time to listen to myself, to try to figure out what I really needed, that I finally started to see a light at the end of the tunnel. This happened on the day that I went to the park and read a book for leisure for the first time in perhaps ever. I started reading A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose by Eckhart Tolle. And I have to admit, I was truly awakened. I want to leave off here for now because this was truly the starting point of a completely new chapter in my life. Because this is when things finally started making sense for me. The beginning of this beautiful journey was perhaps the hardest point to discover in my life because I was forced to confront my ego and forced to finally reveal all of the ugly truths about myself that I had been unwilling to face. Because not only was I too ashamed to admit my own flaws, but also because I was ignorant and completely oblivious to reality. I realized I had quite literally been asleep because I had willingly shut my mind off to avoid certain issues that I was too afraid to confront. I was scared to confront my own self because I know myself better than anybody in this world, and I realized that I had to learn how to live with myself and my past mistakes. I had to learn to love myself. I finally woke the fuck up. The coronavirus made me realize that everyone's time here on Earth is limited, and I decided to set out on a path to discovering my new purpose during these uncertain times. This moment of self-realization and sense of drive and purpose that I never possessed was truly a new spark that lit a fire under my ass and forced me to realize that I wanted to live. And not just live mindlessly like I had been for the past 26 years of my life. I wanted to really live and make my life meaningful to someone, anyone. I wanted to help others and try to make their lives better. But first, I had to start with myself. I had a lot of work to do to better myself, but I was truly excited and motivated to finally take control of my own life and my own destiny, instead of living in fear and paranoia, living up to other people's standards, which was debilitating to me mentally and emotionally. I wanted to be a better person, a better daughter, a better girlfriend, a better sister, a better friend, a better human to this society, to this earth. I wanted to create a new reality for myself, a new identity. This newfound sense of drive and purpose is how the beginning of my spiritual self journey during the quarantine began. I can't wait to tell you more about it next time. For those of you who have been keeping up with my podcast episodes, I can't tell you enough how much it truly means to me. I know it's been a while since I published a new episode, but I appreciate everyone who has been taking the time to listen to me. I absolutely had no idea what I was doing when I first started, and I still don't, but I honestly am so humbled by the small number of faithful listeners who have kept up with me. I'm absolutely touched that I have an estimated established audience of 35 listeners, because I never even thought I would reach more than maybe 10 people or so, which is about the number of supportive friends of mine who I can't thank enough for continuing to encourage and believe in me. To whoever's listening, I just want to say thank you. I also recently started a new blog that features the transcripts to my podcast episodes in case some of my listeners prefer to read. Go check it out at realtalkinfluence.com. This has been such a fun and exciting new journey for me, and it is absolutely meaningful to be able to share it with those who are willing to listen. Until next time, love always, the girl who loves to talk.